Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Oh, artists. I feel like stabbing today.
Yeah. Okay. The twice-weekly podcast for people
needlework
who stab
stabbers.
Ground cloth with venom.
Yes, absolutely.
Vehemently stab ground cloth.
Yeah, that's me.
Interesting that vehement and venom start with a V. I don't know what that means, but it's interesting.
Yes.
Have to go back to the Greek and see where that comes from. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, no stitch hour tonight. We will be next week, though. Jane
yes.
Garrison of the Painter's Threads will be our guest.
I'm
excited. Do join us. 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Because we're going to look at these threads. These threads are special. Yeah.
Yeah. I was playing with the, oh, what was it? I think it was the Swan Goblin that she had overdyed. And that is just gorgeous. It's just a blue. So it's just got a little bit of movement. And all I could think of, this would be perfect for water. For like one of those Plum Street sampler ones, or I think there's a Lila Studio that has like water in it with whales. And I thought, oh, instead of just doing all that solid blue, you'd have just a little variegation. And then it's kind of got that shine because it's Swan Goblin. I'm like, oh, perfect.
Yep. Yeah, Jane sent Beth and me sent us some samples. Wow. Until they're in your hands, you don't appreciate what gorgeous threads they are.
They're beautiful. Oh. They are beautiful.
They're all laid out here on the table so I can look at them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the trim, that one, there's that trim, the snail's trim. Oh.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Listen to last Sunday's podcast with Jane Garrison and go to her website so you can see all that they have to offer. Threadnuts.com. And then join us next Wednesday because Jane's going to show some examples of what you can do. Because this is overdyed thread, but it's not overdyed like the ones you buy in a store. It's a very different look.
Right. So I know Kathy Andrews was working on something. I said, have you tried Painter's Thread? And she said, yes, I picked some up. I think she got some at the Stitchville, USA.
Yeah.
So needlework stores do carry them. You just have to find one that does. But they're beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. So don't miss out on that. That's special. Now, yes. Sunday's guest is Clara Warshauer. And she does embroidery and gold work and stump work all combined. And
yes.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. That frog.
Yep.
That frog is wonderful.
I think I'm going to do that class. Yeah.
Are you?
I think so.
Yeah. You might as well.
Yep.
You need another class.
I do. I need something else to do. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. You're just bored.
Yeah. Killing time. Yep. So, so be sure and check that out. She just does all her stuff is small, but is gorgeous, just gorgeous work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Sassy Jack's Stitchery, we have the September soiree that's September 15 to 18. And then Jackie DePlessis is doing 4 workshops all right in a row, August 3 to 8. That'll be at Sassy Jack's. I think it'll be at a local hotel because that's where Kim has the space, but the shop should be open because Kim has power now and, fire approval and city approval, and she's hanging threads in the store now. So, going to the Jackie DePlessis, workshops, then you'll get to go in the new store, which would be pretty cool. So
yes, it would be very neat. I've signed up for the September soiree. I think I have. I should go back and look. I think I signed up right away last year. So, Kim, check in your spare time.
Because you did that last year, right?
Yes, and it's just fun. I can't go to a lot of the sit and stitch, but every now and then I pop in, and it's fun just to meet new people. You're all across the country and see what everyone's working on, and then she gives nice swag, So it's always fun.
Yeah, the soiree is online, so you don't have to travel to the store or anything. It's all online. So
right.
Yep. So check all that out, sassyjackstitchery.com. And then I learned that the EGA, who is kind enough to sponsor us, and join the EGA, if you are not a member, join them. You'll be glad you did. They have offered from time to time, if using the code FiberTalk5, so FiberTalk and the number 5, all one word, for the virtual lectures. And it was always, up till now, it was always on a monthly thing, like for this month, it's available. Now it's available as an ongoing thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, whether they're tracking that you used it once and so you're done, I can't say.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can use it every time. It seems to me like they would track that so that you'd use it once and not be getting a free virtual lecture every month. But even so, it's an ongoing thing. So if you have not used it and want to listen to a recorded one, or there's one coming up that is new that you want to listen to, FiberTalk 5 will get it free for you because it's $5 fee to participate in lectures. So FiberTalk 5 will get a free one. And then I'm assuming that you get one shot, which makes sense. So
Right. Yeah. I wish they would do is do a yearly subscription to them. I would just
thank
say
you.
I want to pay
thank you
all. And then when they come out as a recording, because a lot of times they're on Sunday afternoon and I'm just busy then.
Right.
Then I could just, oh, there's my recorded lecture. I'm gonna listen to it this evening. And yeah.
Thank you. Because I would send them $60 right now.
Right. Right.
Yes. Same reason. Too many times they come up and I can't attend. And yeah.
Right. That'd be great. There you go. There's our suggestion.
Yep. Because I would, a membership, and I would buy the virtual lecture because out of 12 of them, I'm going to bet, based on their track record, there might be one or two that you wouldn't be excited about, and all the rest you'd be fired up for.
Yeah. And even if you just listen to it, you probably learn something no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy thing could happen. You might learn something even if you're only half interested. Yeah. You might just.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would not even flinch. $60. I don't need a discount either. Don't.
Yeah. No. Just. Yep.
Yep.
Sign me up.
Yep. So there. Yeah. All right. There's our tip to the board of directors. Mm-hmm. Yep. We do not charge for tips.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just a freebie there.
All right. So we're stitching our brains out here. Well, you are. I'm not. But
you're not stitching your brains out? Why
no,
not?
I'm stitching as much as I can.
Oh, okay. You do have grandchildren.
I have grandchildren. I have too many things.
Yeah.
So I'm working on, I have Jane Turner started. This is what I have on racks, okay? Like all laid out. I have three things sitting out that I can pick up any one of them and go to work on it. So Jane Turner, Kathy Andrews, King's Pineapple on a slate frame, and I'm really enjoying that one. And then Kathy Andrews, Mary Parsons, that we started when we were in Iowa here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But last Wednesday, I forget who it was, put forth the idea that why don't I finish up the Sarah Parr sampler to try and have it ready for our daughter's birthday, because she's going to get it when it's done. So yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So that was last Wednesday. I have not set it up yet, but that's going to be, I'm going to do that this weekend, and we're going full metal to get that done, because if I have the rest of this month and September, I'm betting I could have it done if I'd work hard at it by the end of September, and that would give time to frame it. So,
yeah, That would be, and it'd be nice. It's kind of, you're so close to being finished on that one.
Yeah. But I put it aside to, you know, squirrel. I put it aside to play with other things.
Of course. But it's a beautiful piece, and it'll be so nice to see it finished and framed, and especially after you did all that. Did you get all the over one done?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's no, I just got to get at it. So, So this, my room right now looks like four people are working on projects in here. It's ridiculous. But
only four. See, now I think I could, let me see. I've got one, there, two, three, four, five, six within eye shot of this room.
Oh my. Yeah. I'm falling behind. Oh my.
That's right. You need to get a going here, Mr. Parr.
Well, I tell you what I did, because I don't have a trestle for the slate frame, and we have that. That's in the works here. We hope we've got somebody working on trestles. But I thought, wait a minute, I have that cheap stand, like you would get at
Hobby Lobby
or whatever, that I had made long arms for. To hold scroll frames. And I had that down in the basement just stored away because I did not intend to use it. And I thought, wait a minute, if I get that out, that'll hold the slate frame.
Right.
So I dug it out here. Now here's the funny thing. All right. So you say, all right, I'm not going to use it, but I'm going to put it all away. You never know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it away, took it all apart, put it away. So I thought, all right, I'll just go down and get it, set it up, and I'm good to go. Could not find the feet. Could not find the base. Now, Beth, I had it set up here and was using it when we moved here. I cannot find the base anywhere. Look through this entire house. I have no idea. And then I looked, and I thought, well, it's got to be in this box or that box, you know, stored away. No idea. And then I realized, you know, by the time, all the time I've spent looking for this, if I just plug in the miter saw and grab a couple pieces of 2x4, I can make a base in about 15 minutes and be using it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. So, and then Margaret said, you know, it's going to show up tomorrow. I know it will, but I don't care anymore. Yeah. And it hasn't shown up. So I don't know.
Yeah, where would it go? Because I think that's what the base is for the piece, for the frame I use. And that seems like that would be, what would you use it for? I mean, where would it go?
All I can think is in some purge, it got tossed, you know, inadvertently got tossed. But I don't care. Made a new one. Who cares?
Yep.
So that's working out till an official trestle comes along. Because it's not the best, but...
It's working.
Yeah.
It works. Sorry.
Oh, I enjoy slate frames. Oh, man. I tell you, stitching on that is so nice. Mm. Yeah.
I need to, because what's on my slate frame is my casket piece.
Ah.
And I just need to, I'm busy canning tomatoes and I'm looking at my fingers and I'm like, I don't think I want to touch the silk. Right now with my fingers looking the way they do. I'm thinking, no, we'll just wait a little bit here. We'll just wait a little bit. Tomato season will be over soon.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because that happens to me a lot. If I'm doing maintenance on my bike or doing work on like sewing machines or stuff, same thing. You get done, you think, oh, I'll go stitch. And you look at your hands and you go, no, you won't.
No.
Because that grease, that tomato juice is going to end up on you. Yep. And it doesn't, it's not that we're walking around with dirty hands. It doesn't, you know, we all know that it doesn't matter how much you scrub your hands. There's still stuff there.
Right.
And it's got to wear out. Yep. Oh yeah. Right. Same thing.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And especially since it's like they've got little nicks on them, and that's what I'm worried about. It's those little nicks that'll catch that silk. And I'm like, no, don't even attempt it. Just no.
Yep. Same thing. Yep. I have the same thing. Work with wood. It dries your hands out. Yep. And mm-hmm. yeah, any of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have used, and I'm thinking tonight, I'll use a really good sugar scrub on them and then put a thick moisturizer on them and see if that helps with this. But yeah. No.
Talk to me about what is a sugar scrub? I've never done that. I've heard about it. What is that? What do you just take sugar and water and mix it? And
well, actually this has got sugar and like an oil. I think it was avocado oil or something. So it's got a moisturizer in it. So it's kind of, it feels kind of greasy. And then I put like a little squirt of liquid soap, and then I scrub my hands with it. So it's in a little jar. I made it at the library. It was a scoop of sugar, and I don't remember how much oil is in there.
Oh.
But you kind of stir it in. And some people scent it, but I don't like scents, so I didn't mess with that. And yeah, it's just sugar and oil is all this is. So not water, a little bit of oil, and that, 'cause it moisturizes it as it scrubs it off. You know, it gives your fingers a little scrub.
And that works, huh?
It helps. I mean, yeah. It's not gonna, it doesn't totally smooth it, like, but it helps. It, over time, it gets it kind of, yeah. So it's better. But it's helpful. You know, yeah. It's better than nothing, I figure.
Right.
But.
Because, yeah. Like, if my hands are really greasy, I have, you know, pumice cleaner.
Right.
But, of course, that just, you know.
Dries them out.
Dries them out, scrubs them up, gets them all rough, you know.
Right. And then I do it at night. I put on, I don't know, some whatever moisturizer I have. And I just add a lot and then just let my fingers be greasy as I go to bed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Wash the sheets in the morning.
right. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. I may have to look into that. So basically, it's not something you buy. You just make it.
You could buy it, but it's very inexpensive to make.
Yeah.
You probably have all the ingredients in your kitchen.
Yeah.
See, Marga now think, what are you doing? I need to make a sugar scrub.
Yeah, she just roll her eyes and walk away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
What's
whatever
the next thing? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what are you stitching?
I am stitching Mary Parsons, and I think I'm about halfway through with her. I even started on the border, which that border, you got to be careful with the counting on that baby. I thought, oh, this will be easy. I'll just whip through this border. And I'm like, oh, I've ripped it several times.
Oh, but good tip.
Yeah. Just you got to make sure. Because you're stitching over one with a satin stitch.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to miscount that one, to not be able to, at least on my 37 count, I was having a little bit of difficulty with that. And you just got to, I try to make sure I check each little point. And I'm doing, it's a double pointed. Gary, I'll put a picture in. And I'm making little zigzags with my hands, like you guys can see me. But, so there's a flat section that the point comes into. That's where I count every single time now. And I do both sections. I go down because it's a double border.
Yeah. See, I haven't done any of the border, so.
Yeah. I thought I better get started on it because I could tell I wasn't going to. I thought, oh, I was going to save it to last. And I thought, that's probably a bad idea because then I won't. It'll be like, okay, I've done the center, I'm done, and then go in the basement and live there and never have a border.
Yeah.
So I thought I better get it done.
No, I'm a believer in doing the border as you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because do it ahead of time, and then I always feel like you risk messing it up as you're stitching the other parts.
Right.
Do it after the fact, you never do it.
No. Right. No.
It's set aside, and then one day you go, why isn't this done? Well, because I got to do the border. You
know? Right. Yeah. Maybe it won't have a border.
Yeah, maybe it just won't. Yeah.
maybe it's done. I mean, the border is beautiful on it. The image does not do it justice at all, as usual.
Yep.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I have to force myself to put it away and work on something else because it's just, I find it very relaxing to do all the words. So
yeah, Yep. Anyway. All right. All right. We got our stuff in. It's all in the works. Yeah. What? Somebody mentioned the other day, I saw this, Sampler September. What is that? Just pick a sampler and work on it?
Yes.
I don't keep up with all these. You know, there's something every month that somebody's doing. I just don't keep up with them because I'm not going to participate, you know.
So. That's right. So Sampler September, I think, was started by Kitten Stitcher, Teresa Vanette, and just to work on a sampler in the month of September. And so I just was wondering if you were going to pick one and work on it. It's kind of fun.
Well, I'm all in then because I'm working on Sarah Parr, so I'm all in. Oh, look at me.
That's right.
I'm one of the cool kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm posting everywhere now. Hey,
September. There you go.
Sampler September. Yeah, I'm all in. I'm with you. Okay.
Well, yeah, and that's the only – I think it's just to pull out those samplers and –
Yeah.
Post pictures and something, you know, to encourage you. Some people start new ones every September. I have too many started to even think about starting a new one.
Yeah, I need to start another sampler. Yeah.
Yes. No.
52. Yeah. No, we're not starting another one.
No, not starting another one. Maybe I'll try to finish one. Maybe Mary Parsons. If I could get that finished by the end of September, that would be a good, a good goal.
Oh man, look at this. I fell right into this. I'm participating in Sampler September.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. Part of the cool kids now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Every now and then. Every now and then. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just going to stitch. I'm not going to worry about being part of the big deal.
No, I didn't think you would. I didn't think you'd care. But I'm also working on, and I cannot pronounce her name, so I'll just spell it. It's Susan, Schlitcher, 1845, by Queenstown Sampler Designs. We got her the last time Sassy Jack's Kim had her little sale on Queenstown Samplers. I had her kitted up for me. It's bright. It has a big flower vase in the center, and then it's got these crazy peacocks that are purple, which I love.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yes, with the bright purple vases at the bottom.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so it was my birthday, and I was like, I need to start something. So I started her, and
I need to start something, yeah.
I need to start. Well, I had the kit. It's not like I broke my not one more thing. So anyway, I already had the kit, had everything. And she is beautiful. Again, the picture does not do her justice at all. She is, the colors are gorgeous. I'm doing, Russian Tea Cake, I think is the name of this. No, wait. Yes, it's Russian Tea Cake is what I'm using for this fabric and DMC. And it is beautiful, the colors on this fabric.
There's one, you know, people ask what linen. Mm-hmm. I think you could wisely, definitely, willingly, whatever, buy a couple of yards of Russian Tea Cake in whatever thread count. Just buy a couple of yards. And I bet you, if you're stitching right along samplers in fairly short order, you would have no trouble using it up. That is such a versatile, excellent background linen for samplers.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's because it's legacy linen. Aren't they the ones that name they're different? Russian Tea Cake is the 37 count, but I think if you get it in a different count,
it's got a different name.
It's called a different name. You'd have to ask somebody at has a store like Kim, but yeah. Russian Tea Cake is a lovely neutral color, I think.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could safely do that. Buy a couple of yards and just say that's my background for whatever sampler I'm starting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because it's nice.
It's nice linen too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm working with the DMC, and one of the greens I was having a terrible time with it getting fuzzy. And I thought, okay, is it my needle? You know, what am I doing wrong? So I actually took out a whole section because it just looked bad. And I changed needles, and it still was fuzzy. I think it's the thread. It's not that it's bad. I think it's like it's untwisting a little bit. So I have to constantly twist it, and I even used a little bit of beeswax on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't normally have DMC, you know. It's a nice thread. I just use it. But for this one, I was just having a little bit of issue. Have you ever had that problem?
No.
Like with a black or?
No. Not DMC, no. I don't even think about it.
Yeah. And normally I don't. I don't know why. I wonder if it's the color.
Yeah.
Like how it took the dye or something.
Could be, yeah. Have you tried flipping it around so it's going through the other direction?
Yes.
And still?
Yes.
Because, see, that could be a bad base thread, like a bad...
Right.
You know, the
right.
Base is just bad.
Right. And actually, once I paid more attention, kept it twisted, and used a little beeswax, no problems.
Then it was okay.
Right. But I just had to pay a little bit more attention or else it just didn't seem like it was, the stitches were as nice.
Huh.
It was just kind of strange.
Hmm. You know, if you had a basement full of stash, you might go down and get another skein of that color, you know, different and see, but you don't have that. So
I don't have that. That would be akin and, to work too.
Yeah, and you don't have a store nearby and so
to go check. Yeah, that would be another smart thing to try.
So I guess you're stuck. Yeah, it's too bad.
I guess if I weren't so stinking lazy, I guess is what you're saying. I could go and get something
not,
else to work with.
I'm not passing judgment in any way, shape, or form. I'm just offering suggestions.
No. Yes. I'm
How many steps is it to the basement, you know?
I know. And was I just down there? And I didn't even think of looking for a different skein of this thread. I just decided I was going to work with it because it was in the kit. I'm going to make it work.
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Thanks. It's always helpful, aren't
Beth, you? I am here for you every day. Every day.
Yeah. I'm sure.
No, I've not had that with DMC. I don't even think about it. There are other threads where I've had all kinds, you know, different issues, and sometimes just flipping it around so it goes through the other way will solve the problem. Yeah,
right. And again, I've tried those things, but going down to the basement and trying another skein might be. Well, actually, it needs two because it is a. I've got to make sure it's the same.
What number is it? I'll send you two skeins, Beth.
No. I'm gonna check.
What number is it? I'll send you two skeins. I'm sure I have them.
I probably do too. Yeah, I just never thought about it. I'll have to go down and look. I'm just making it work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I mean, there's no way that thousands of skeins of DMC that every single one of them is top quality, you know. There's got to be a bum one every now and then. Got to be.
Right. Yeah.
They're entitled.
And it does. And the colors, like I said, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece and I'm enjoying stitching it. But yeah. But and the other thing I'm working on before I forget is I'm really close to finishing Gay Ann Rogers drawn thread sampler.
Oh. That's a beauty.
I mean, yeah, I've got one tiny square and then the big major square in the center. And then it's done. So
that's a beauty. Have you decided what color you're gonna put behind that when you finish it?
No, I haven't. I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm just trying to get it finished.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, a blue would be nice.
Yeah.
a really nice, pretty blue. I don't know. I'll have to.
Yeah, you could have a lot of fun going to a fabric store and just laying that on top of different threads or cloth. Yeah.
It's been fun to stitch. It's been fun. But it's taken me way too long. I need to get it done.
Well, that's not your everyday piece of stitching either. I mean,
no. But it lingered because I was like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? It's getting all the wrapping done. But now I'm not as afraid of it. And so it's just do it. Just do it.
Finish it up.
Just go to town.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So you were a Sissy Bailey Smith class that you were jumping up and down about. What's the story behind that?
So I took Tudor Rose Sampler Guild that you used to belong to.
Yeah. Join that Tudor Rose Sampler Guild. Thank you. I was going to join that the last time that came up, and I was going to join because I let my membership lapse. So I'm making a note now. Tudor Rose Sampler Guild. That's a good guild, by the way, folks. Get on it.
Yes. Yeah. And they do Zoom meetings, so it's wonderful. They're out of Texas. But Sissy was teaching a housewife class, or it was a pocket, and we walked through how to assemble it because, you know, it's mainly cross stitch. I think there's, well, actually, it's not mainly cross stitch. I say that it's got Roman stitch, which I'd never heard of. Have you ever heard of a Roman stitch?
No.
Okay, so it's not difficult, but it's a straight line of a vertical line with one little horizontal line on it. So it's almost it's like you're couching a brick stitch. Does that make
it? Yeah.
Anyway, very cool. Queen stitch. It had not four-sided, nun stitch. Oh, what was the other? I can't remember. And it's across the room, so I'm looking at it. But it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And she had us make up a little paper model of the piece. And that was helpful. It was so you could see how you actually assembled the little pocket. And I know Jackie DePoissy does the same thing because I've talked to Kim about it. She says, yeah, she makes you, I think you have to do a little paper folding. So you learn how to assemble things. And that was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Cause now I know how this pocket housewife goes together. And I've got several things and I'm thinking, well, how do I finish these things? Well, now it gives me another option for them for finishing, I guess. And that's what I really liked. And then she just walking through all the stitches. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot.
So to make this thing, so then you just cut out some paper of the size and then just, so that way you see how the pieces go together and where you're going to sew and where your stitching is going to be.
Right. Right. And you know, it kind of cements it in your head so that when once you start stitching, you have this little model in front of you and saying, because some of it you have to stitch upside down so that your book goes together correctly.
Okay. All right. So I can see the model would really be helpful there. Yeah.
Right. Right. But just that little tidbit, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense to do this. I don't know. I thought it was fun. It was great. And then basically it's a nun stitch assembly, which I've done before on Gay Ann Rogers pieces. And I forget how nice it is. If you do a nun stitch around everything, you can cut up to that nun stitch and just, it's easy to assemble a piece. You don't have to take it to a finisher.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Again. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
I highly recommend it.
So then if Sissy Bailey Smith is given a class somewhere, worth signing up for.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, she showed us, I think she's got a tomato that she was thinking about taking it apart. It's an antique. And then she decided to so she could learn how to reconstruct it so she could teach it to people. She goes, well, I decided not to do that. But that looked like it would be fun because she said she's going to try to there's a big tomato and then a bunch of little strawberries on top of it. She was going to do some sort of design work on the big tomato that you stitched, and then she'd teach you how to make this thing. And I thought, that's a great class. Yeah. I like classes like that where you get to stitch on something and you make it into something on your own that you don't have to send it off to a finisher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or frame it too. That's right. The other thing.
Yeah.
It gives you options.
Yep. All right. Well, Tudor Rose Sampler Guild, join. It's a good one.
Yes.
And it is a good one. You join, say that Fiber Talk, a member and a non-member, sent you.
You're right.
Absolutely. I got it. I really should rejoin because I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And Sissy gave, I couldn't attend the lecture, but I know she had a lecture here for the Guild on Scottish samplers. So again, they've got people coming in and lecturing too, which I also think is great. You know.
Yeah, they do a nice job, and it's online.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. Perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
Noted. Mm-hmm. Okay, the overrated, underrated feature that Jennifer and I started a couple weeks ago. Oh, and by the way, last Wednesday's show, if you didn't see it, holy smokes.
Tamari.
Jennifer.
I know. Blew it out of the park with that Tamari.
I mean, your piece is outstanding. Don't, you know, I'm not selling your piece short at all. That Tamari ball. Wow.
I know. I had people contact me and say, that Tamari. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Wow. Yeah. Go check it out. It's at the 30-minute mark of the show is when she starts talking about it.
She did a fantastic job. That is just phenomenal.
Yep. It's worth checking it out. It really is, because that is a special piece right there. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. So cool. All right. So overrated, underrated. Okay. So it's, you know, whatever the item is it overrated or underrated in the general sense? So first one on the list are expensive scissors. So like Dovo and Premax and those kinds of scissors, overrated or underrated?
I don't think they're overrated. So that would be underrated. I like having a good pair of scissors. The Dovos, I have a special pair of Dovos for doing my cut work. And I only use them like I'm using them on the drawn thread sampler. I'll use them for the 17th century white work, if I have to do a precise cut, they're sharp all the way out to the tip. They're special. I don't just use any old scissor, but I'm not going to go spend, I don't know what those handmade scissors cost from France.
Oh, that French guy, those are like $400. That's ridiculous. Yeah. No way.
That's ridiculous. No.
That's just showing off.
That, yeah, I can't do that. That's just like insanity. That, you know, but a good pair of scissors, absolutely. Now, I do like my Kai scissors. And they're relatively inexpensive. I want to say right now they run about $15. But some people don't like them because they're very lightweight. They have no body weight on them, but I they're the ones I use all the time, constantly.
Hmm. That's interesting.
But I don't need, so for everyday scissors, for like cutting floss or, you know, even cutting silk, these were great. And they're actually starting to get, I don't know how long I've had them. They're 5 or 6 years old. And I've never had them sharpened or anything. It's probably time to get a new pair. But they're cheap enough that, you know, it's like, okay. But they're great scissors.
They're great
scissors.
Yeah.
Kai.
Chai, is that right?
No, Kai. They're Japanese.
Kai. Mm-hmm. That's the chemistry in me coming out. CH, yeah.
Well, and then I posted this all over social media. I did find a pair.
Yeah, I want to hear this story. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I was coming back from donating platelets, and I saw that there was an estate sale, and that is just the town down the river from me. And I said, I'm going to go.
Oh, so this was random.
Well, I knew what was going on, but it was, I was like, okay, it's not that far. I'll stop. So it was their 50% off day, and I noticed this box and scissors, and it was going to cost me a whopping $5. And I thought, I'm going to take a chance on them. I noticed that it had markings on it, but it was too dark in there to see the markings, and I didn't have my magnifiers or anything. I said, well, I clipped, you know, kind of snipped them a little bit, and I looked at the blades, and they didn't look like they had any, like, obvious dents in them. And I thought, you know, $5 for all of it, not going to mess out. Got them home, and I looked at them under my magnifiers and a good light, and they're Dovos, and they're marked Dovos. Now, they cut thread, but they could be a little sharper. You know, if I was going to cut my, you know, do hardanger with them or cut, you know, cut threads on a needlework piece, I'd need them sharpened.
Yeah.
But they're Dovos.
What a win. Wow.
I was so excited. I was so excited.
I thought you and Max had nothing to do and had gone off to estate sales. So this was just a random.
Right.
Very
just
cool.
Coming back from platelet donation. And I was like, oh, yeah, that won't take me but a minute to run in there. And it took me longer to stand in line to buy them than it did to find them. And
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
No, it was worth it. Definitely worth it. So what about you? Overrated, underrated? Scissors.
Overrated. And I have four either Premax or Dovo scissors. I have four of them sitting right here.
Really?
And I think they're overrated. For regular stitching, and they're fine instruments. You know, I mean, I'm with you 100%. Razor sharp, the entire length of the blade, smooth, cut, crisp, everything. All the good things, and I really enjoy having them and using them. But I think for just general stitching, you can do just as well with the $7 ones that are at the counter at any needlework shop. And when they get dull, pitch them. I think they're overrated, but I own them and I use them all the time and I won't give them up. So,
well, and I think there's something to be said about having scissors a good pair of scissors that you like, that you use all the time. And so like these Kai are nice. You know, I do use them constantly. And I think you need a really good pair if you're doing hardanger or white work where you're snipping really close to your stitching. You need a good pair of scissors with a nice sharp point.
Now I'm with you. If you're going to spend money, if you're doing the white work or hardanger or drawn thread, get good scissors. Absolutely. Do not scrimp on the scissors. To me, in those projects, they're as important as a good needle.
Right.
Because of what you have to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. But you're right. For everyday cutting floss or even silk, if I'm traveling, I just go and find a cheap pair of school scissors.
Yeah.
You know, it cuts the floss. It gets dull. Okay. Then I toss them.
Right.
But, you know, because it doesn't matter. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they're overrated. But
even
fine.
Though you own four pair.
But I own four pair, and I'm not giving them to anybody. So, you know, there you go.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, there's nothing beats a fine instrument when you're doing stuff. I mean, you know, it's, but are they necessary? Nah.
Probably not.
No. How many people have said that when they travel, they use nail clippers to clip the threads, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And I've done that when I've forgotten my scissors.
Yeah. So, yeah, overrated. All right. Now, the next one is needles. And I'm not talking about DMC needles from Joann's, but, you know, Peacemakers, Tulip, John James, you know, good quality needles. Overrated, underrated?
I think underrated. I love a good needle. In fact, I even, if I'm doing surface embroidery, I go through and I find my my Tulip needles for doing any sort of surface work, especially for making bullion knots. There's nothing better than those. If you're making big, huge, like if you're doing wool embroidery and you're trying to make a big old bullion knot, Tulip makes a really nice long needle. They're a little harder to find, but you can thread a big old piece of pearl cotton in there and make a great bullion knot.
Yep.
You can't do that with just a doll needle. I know people do, but you're fighting with it. It's just not made for that.
Right. Underrated. Yep. To me, that is your primary tool. That is your primary tool, and get the best, you know, and everybody has their opinion about what brand it is, and it doesn't matter. Get top end needles, because the eye will be smooth. It'll be easier to thread. They won't snag up your threads. They'll slide through the ground cloth easily. They'll last. And that's the other thing. You know, all right, I paid more for those needles, but they last.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, a DMC from Joann's is chewed up how many threads, worn out, and you throw it away and you go buy it again. You know, it's just, good needles. And I know when especially like Tulip needles, you go, whoa, I'm not paying that much for needles. Worth it.
Right. Yeah. And especially if you're doing certain stitching with them, that I think they're a little pricey if you're just doing, needlepoint with them. I think you can use I use John James. That's the one I like. I know some people don't like that one, but a good John James for doing needlepoint is what I use.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to spend as much on the Tulip for the tapestry. That was a little bit too much, but for surface embroidery, I think Mary Corbett said something about the Tulip needles were helping her with her hand. She was having a little hand fatigue.
Yep.
And I thought that makes sense, because you're holding that, and you're holding it tightly. So if it can help with that, anything that'll help.
Yep.
Keep us doing the thing we love.
Yep. Oh yeah, I absolutely underrated. Get good needles, and more than one. Get four, whatever sizes, 22, 4, 6, and 8, and get a number of them and store them away. Because even like on a needlepoint piece, a counted canvas, whatever, you may be using a 22 for most things, and then a 24 is a better choice for one thread. Yeah, it just depends. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, good needles.
Get them. Absolutely. They're worth it. Store and mm-hmm. some means of storing them so they're protected. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try hoops. Good, like good wood hoops or.
Okay. I think they're overrated for the most part. I use the plastic ones a lot of the time that you get that have that lip around them. I think Darcy makes them. In fact, if I'm teaching, that's what I use. I get a bunch of them. People will sell them at garage sales or whatever. Those are my favorites. They tighten really good. They get your fabric good and tight, and they work fine. Now, the really, really chintzy ones I don't like, but that a basic plastic hoop works great. Now, Access Commodities makes nice ones, and I've used those, and they're beautiful, and they work well, but they aren't absolutely necessary. unless I'm doing, I take that back. If I were doing something in a hoop that I absolutely needed to stay taut, then I would move to the access commodities. But if I'm doing a simple cross stitch piece that is popping it in and out of that hoop, but it's small, I just use a plastic hoop.
Okay. I can't deal with the plastic hoops, so I have to have the wood ones. I have to have the, what is the brand? I forget the brand now.
Access Commodity?
No.
Make some? No.
Two words.
Oh, two words.
What is it? I hate that. The really good wood hoops.
Okay, I have one across the room. Let me stand up and go find it. So if you hear movement, that's me.
Okay.
All right, here it is. I thought it was Access Commodity.
No.
And it has a stamp on the side of it.
Right. Come on, what is it?
I don't know. It doesn't have a name on it. It just has that big Hardwick Manor.
Thank you. That's what I use. And I know part of it is I'm a sucker for good quality wood things. But I just... I think a good wood hoop is underrated. I think it's worth spending the money on. They're not horribly expensive to begin with, because I like that the two circles fit uniformly all the way around for the most part. You get a dud every now and then. But then the hardware allows me to use a screwdriver on it to tighten it right down. And I like that ground cloth tight. And so that's what I use is Hardwick Manor. I've tried the plastic hoops, you know, two or three different kinds, those spring loaded ones. And I just can't get them to stay. They'd slip around too much and rough edges. And I can't get them to work, but then a lot of people use them. So,
And for the most part, if I'm just doing a small piece, and again, you know, I'm just popping it in and out, and I don't need my tension as tight as you do on your fabric. So for me, they work great, and they're not, and if I lose them, or if I somehow lose the screw, they're cheap enough. You know, you can replace them.
Yeah.
Easy to replace. So, yep. But yeah.
Oh, I gotta. Can't help it. All right. Related to that, underrated, overrated, wrapping a hoop.
I do wrap the wood hoops. I don't wrap the plastic ones. The ones I like have a little lip on them.
Right.
And that kind of keeps it tighter. But I do wrap one hoop. Do you wrap both?
No.
Or do you wrap one?
Inside. The inside one.
Mm-hmm.
No. Seen people wrap both. To me, that's excessive. I wrap the inside hoop with twill tape.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do that too. Because it seems to keep a little bit tighter on those wood hoops. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think it needs to be done.
To me, it's underrated, as in must be done.
Right.
Wood hoops just aren't worth a hoot unless they're one of the hoops is wrapped, because it just won't hold.
Right.
And you can tighten it down as much as you want, but it won't hold. The cloth will slip, and you put that twill tape on there and do it right, and it'll hold just as tight as you want it. I think you have to wrap. But now I agree on the plastic ones. That one with the little lip on it. And then I remember the ones, I had a small collection of them that they're kind of a V-shaped outer ring and then a metal spring thing where you pinch two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I never liked those because it just never seemed to stay put.
Nope.
Those drove. Yeah, I didn't like those.
And the plastic was never smooth. It was always rough and snaggy. And yeah, I had a number of those. Threw them all away. Yeah, just couldn't.
Just couldn't deal with it.
No. No. Yeah. I like the Hardwick Manor hoops. Yeah.
They are nice. They are nice. And I do have several. And I have an oval one. Kind of, it's not square. It's oval. And what did I use that for? I think I was using it to do Anya's day. Mm-hmm. Because it was just nice size. And it was nice for my hands. And I do use, let's talk about this. What size of hoop do you like to use? Do you use a big hoop?
8-inch, 10-inch.
Okay, so use a larger hoop. So you don't ever hold it in your hand.
No.
No, see, and if I'm doing something in a hoop, if I'm not using that clamp hoop thing, I like the small 4-inch hoop. And even if it's a huge piece, I'll be stitching along with just this little tiny 4-inch hoop and move it around. I don't know why. I think it's because it fits in my hand better, and my hand is smaller. So if I'm stitching that way, where I'm holding the hoop, I don't get hand cramps or anything like that.
Yeah, and I saw you when we were in Iowa there. I actually commented on it, the little 4-inch hoop, and you're not the only one that does that. And I keep meaning to at least test that and see what that's like, because there are a number of people that will use a little hoop and just move it around, and especially if you're traveling or stitching outside of the home.
Right.
What an easy way to carry your stitching. Just a little tiny hoop, your cloth, your threads, you're off to the races.
Right. You know. And I have friends that's all they use. They don't use any sort of scroll frames or anything like that. They just use a little hand.
Yeah.
Hoop. Even to do big, like, hay pieces, which to me is insanity. But you know, I mean, I'm crazy, but that seems a little nuts.
Yeah.
But no it way. Works for them. It works. Yes. And beautiful stitching.
Yeah.
Like, gorgeous stitching. And they're just using this little 4-inch hoop, and away they go.
On a hayed piece? I can't even imagine that.
I know. I was watching. I was like, are you just doing that because you're here? She goes, no, this is how I stitch on this piece all the time.
Wow.
Like, okay.
That is crazy.
I know. I know.
Once again, I'll never do them, but absolute tip of the cap to anybody that does those things. I'm impressed. I'm impressed time and time again, but no way.
Yeah. And I have one started. And as I did have my son calculate how long it would take me to finish if I did 500 stitches every month. It'll be 33 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I skipped 2 months. So, you know, I'm getting behind.
You're already.
So.
Oh, yeah. Man. No. Ugh. Oh, they're so impressive when they're done. Wow.
Yes. Yep. And there's something, and I really was going to abandon that piece. But there is something relaxing. Once I pull it out and I get started on it, filling in a little section, you look up and you've done, you know, however many stitches you've done for the night. And you look at it and you think, wow, that it looks so cool when you're stitching it. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to finish. And I have this urge to just like take it off its frame and get rid of it. But it's like, but it looks so cool, and I enjoy stitching on it. And I'm thinking, you know, so what if I never finish?
Yeah.
Am I enjoying the process? Yeah, I'm enjoying the process. It's okay not to finish this piece.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No.
I'll be impressed when you get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully before I'm dead, you know. That's the $1 million.
Well, I tell you, I'm not hanging around on this earth waiting for you. So.
Okay. All right.
Nope. All right. That's going to be it, I think. Yep.
All right.
Next Wednesday, don't miss it. Mark it on your calendar. Jane Garrison, the Painter's Threads. Don't miss it. Oh, man. You're going to want some threads, folks.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, you're going to want just to have around. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You never know when you're going to need them.
You just never do. And they are worth having.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.